So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits. And as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
And guess where this additional billion gallons of biofuel is going to come from? It's going to come from abroad. That's not an American First energy policy. We're in this together. Labor's in this. Building trades are in this. Refiners are in this. American consumers need us to do this too.
Now across the Jacob Media Network, welcome to the Labor and Energy Show Special, exclusively presented by the PBF Energy Paulsboro Refinery and the PBF Delaware City Refinery, in collaboration with the labor unions that build our communities.
If you fix this RINs issue, you're looking at a reduction of 25 to 30 cents a gallon.
This is the Labor and Energy Show, bringing labor leaders, national experts, and political influencers together to educate you about fancy terms like RINs and RGGI, while explaining the truth about energy independence. Welcome to the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause.
Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Labor and Energy Show with J. Doc and Krause. Glad to be here as we transition into what will be the final week of the month of September on the doorstep of the 2024 election. Good show lined up for the listening and the viewing audience today, J. Doc, all under the umbrella and all under the theme, of course, of educating the public, which is what we do here on the Labor and Energy Show. Don't forget, if you're tuning in across the Jacob Network right now and you want to go back and re-listen to today's episode, you want to go back and watch it, you'll find it on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. Jay Talk, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Joe. It's great to be here. Two great guests. We have elections coming up. There's a ton of issues, especially in these areas. Today's show's, got a great ring to it, of course. We have Ryan Sistad, who is no stranger to the broadcast. He's the executive director of Better in Our Backyard, okay? And it's an organization based in Minnesota, but they do a fantastic. They promote responsible industrial development. Okay, educate professionals on the benefits of responsible industry, and they promote careers in the union building trade. So, it's a big deal. They're really on top of a lot of our traditional energy projects. Okay, a pro environment group, but also a pro common sense and energy group. And so Ryan's fantastic. And we're going to relearn, and of course introduce his organization to our listeners, and then we have Alex Kinderconnect, okay, and Alex is the president of U.S. operations of MTU Instruments, okay, and what they do, it's a company that they have technology to test gas. From our traditional energy projects, okay, they make sure that the emissions are, controlled. And of course, also with our renewable projects, the same thing. They have great technology that allows us to make sure that all of our projects, like I said, whether they're renewable or they're traditional, that they can monitor what's going on in regards to our gas and our emissions. So, two fantastic individuals. Can't wait to introduce the technology to our listeners, all with the premise that, we want to do a great job. Okay. We want great projects. Okay. But we care about the environment, and we want to make sure that we do these projects right. And we want to make sure that we do it as efficiently and as cleanly as possible.
Yeah, good lineup today, Jay Doc. We won't delay the audience from you getting into your first interview with Ryan. We'll take our quick commercial break. Jay Doc will be back on the other side. This is the Labor and Energy Show with Jay Doc and Krause. Back in a moment.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
Buying a car is a big decision. Makes, models, colors, cost. But soon enough, the government is going to make that decision for you. Delaware and New Jersey are on a collision course to ban the sale of new gas-powered cars. In 2035, you'll have no choice but to buy an electric vehicle in those states. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide. This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Ryan Sistad, the executive director of Better in Our Backyard, BIOBY. Okay, and we say that real fast. You think you'd be going to a BYOB, okay? Having said that, Ryan, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me on, Joe. I appreciate it. It's been a while.
It's our pleasure. We know you hail from Minnesota, so you're probably up a little earlier than we are, so we do appreciate it. If you would, remind our listeners a little bit about Better in Our Backyard.
Yeah, well, so Better in Our Backyard was created to promote responsible industrial development, and we're located out of Duluth, Minnesota. We were actually founded in Duluth, and in terms of responsible industrial development is that we support large-scale industrial projects that we believe are vital to growing local economies while also still protecting our local pristine environment. So originally, our focus was on Enbridge's Line 3 replacement project a few years back, a project called PolyMet's NorthMet project, now known as New Range Copper Nickel in Twin Metals, Minnesota. And over the past year, and since we've talked, we've actually grown into states like Arizona and Idaho, and And obviously we're in Michigan and Wisconsin doing Line 5 advocacy work. So we do a lot of in-person events in Minnesota, but we are growing a national following or a national brand, if you will, in terms of industry. And a lot of it's through digital media.
And I always, you know, the name itself, very interesting name. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where did that come from?
Actually, that came from my understanding. I technically didn't found Better in Our Backyard. A lot of the philosophies and strategies that we implement are the reason why I'm on the show with you today. Is stuff that I introduced, but it was actually a local engineer in Duluth that gave an impassioned speech to a city council in Duluth, you know, talking about, you know, because the local city council in Duluth, it gets obviously very political. And they're, you know, much of Duluth is actually against some of the proposed mining projects in northeastern Minnesota. And there was a local engineer that gave an impassioned speech saying, you know, hey, we can do it better in our backyard. You shouldn't be going against these projects. So that's really what started it all.
Oh, by the way, I absolutely love that. And that was, you know, my thought. In other words, that goes, okay, you know, for especially when you're talking about our traditional energy and our standards here in America. Okay, better in our backyard. Okay, because we have the standards. We can control, you know, what's going on. We cannot if we shut ourselves down, okay, and allow, you know, entities overseas to do these projects. And the last time I checked, okay, you know, the atmosphere and the ozone and all the, you know, covered our entire planet. So just because we're shutting our own projects down here means what? It, you know, we can't control what's going on overseas. So that was what I thought when I heard the name, and I do love it.
So well, that's part of it too. I mean, it's within the name. Yeah.
Yep. No question. No question about it. Makes sense. So let's kind of jump right in. Well, as the executive director, what is your role?
So I run the day-to-day operations at Better in Our Backyard. And we also have a member relations intern on our staff that's working part-time. And but yeah, we basically run day-to-day operations and continue to grow the brand and grow our membership while also still making sure that we're, you know, educating folks on these projects on a daily basis, whether it's Line 5 or whether it's a proposed copper mine like Resolution Copper in Arizona or a proposed mine in Idaho, or, you know, continuing to beating the drumbeat, if you will, on some of the non-ferrous mining projects in northeastern Minnesota.
So let's start off with something you and I touched base on yesterday. And we're going to talk briefly on the Line 5. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk a little bit about permitting reform. Okay. Because it's a, we've covered the topic many times. Okay. And, you know, certainly hand in hand with Better in Our Backyard. Okay. Because a lot of these projects, that we can do more efficiently within our own standards. We have the best workers on the planet. Okay. And you talk about mining, we have the National Mining Association on our board, Rich Nolan. Okay. And,
really?
But one of the issues is these projects, even if we wanted to take them over from overseas, a lot of them that are going on, you know, traditional energy projects here in the United States take forever to get permitted. Okay. And it just deters investment in what's going on. It makes it almost impossible for us to take on these projects. What, if you would explain to our listener what permitting is, and then we'll get into, you know, obviously what permitting reform is.
Well, you know, obviously you got to obtain permits to construct anything, whether it's a new house, whether it's putting a new door on your house or building a new mine or building a pipeline or retrofitting a project or permitting a new clean energy project. And the biggest issue that we're facing in terms of permitting reform, it's really amplified within the mining industry. There's issues with it in oil and gas industry. Like one example, we haven't opened up a new refinery in decades because it's almost impossible to get a new refinery permitted, which is an issue. And so when I think of permitting reform, I'm thinking of how do we make things more efficient so that proposed projects can actually get permitted in a timely fashion, so that we can bring in more investment into the U.S. while also still creating good paying union jobs. Usually, you know, when you look at all these different states, even projects in, you know, right to work states, oftentimes will still sign PLA agreements, you know, in North Dakota, because it's, you know, union labor is a really good path to go down when you're building a, a new project. And when it comes to mining, there was a report that was released a couple months ago by S&P that found that between finding a deposit and actually bringing the mine online, it takes on average 29 years in the U.S. And so we're seeing a lot of projects. One example being Resolution Copper out of Arizona. It's been in the permitting process for over 10 years. If it got permitted today, it could supplement 25% of U.S. copper demand in the U.S. And then we have projects in Minnesota like New Range Copper Nickels North Mine project. You know, it's been in the permitting process for nearly 20 years now. And there's another project called Twin Metals Minnesota. They can't even go through the permitting process because they had a mineral lease, their minerals rights withdrawn from them through a mining moratorium a few years back under this administration. And there's projects across the country that I could name that need permitting reform. And oftentimes it's because they're on federal lands, like, you know, like with Resolution Copper, you know, to mention them again. Even though they've been in the permitting process for over 10 years, there's another proposed copper mine within 60 miles of Resolution. They're in the same county. They just got permitted within 3 years because they're only on state and private land. Their project isn't on federal land, which doesn't open them up to NEPA. And so if Arizona can permit a new mining project in 3 years, why can't the federal government? So that's the issue that we're facing with permitting reform. And we're seeing some steps, you know, happen on both the federal level. And then also here in Minnesota, we're seeing on a state level. But what I've noticed with some of the permitting reform changes, especially from one side of the aisle, they're picking winners and losers. Like, you know, some of these new policies are only applicable to clean energy projects. Well, it's like, well, if you want permitting reform to happen for clean energy projects, make them for all projects, whether it's a new pipeline or a new mine. So that's some of the frustrations that I've been seeing. I know Senator Manchin's been awesome in terms of implementing permitting reform, and hopefully, you know, some good steps are going to happen here in the next few years.
I was going to say, what can our listeners do to, you know, be heard on this topic? You have situations that are really just, I don't even know how we get the investment or people get, you know, interested. I imagine, because we've gone through hell with pipelines here. We've gone through situations in Pennsylvania where outside, and one of the, so, you know, the entire political hierarchy in the area, in the region, was supporting this project. The community was supporting it. But it was individuals from outside the region, okay, that came in and, you know, wreaked havoc on the entire thing. So several years it took, and finally they dropped it because the protests were so incredible. Question, you know, and you should, by the way, the mayor of that town looked like, I mean, the devastation because of the jobs, mm-hmm. Okay, the community that, and the tax base and all those things that project, that refinery was going to bring to the community, that plant was going to bring to the community, were going to literally change, okay, that entire community. Yet individuals came from outside the region and were just relentless in court, you know, with protests. And my question to you is, you know, what, even if they don't have skin in the game in regards, it just doesn't make sense to me in regards to living in an area. These people are traveling. Mm-hmm. We all care about the environment. Let's, okay. Why don't they have the same passion? Since, you know, the environment covers the whole planet. Okay. Why are they so adamant about in the U.S. and yet understanding that we can control what's going on here, but not overseas. And we're still importing these same products from overseas.
Like, meaning, like, why are they?
Well, my point is, what is their response when posed with that question? In other words, we're willing to shut ourselves down here, destroy communities, okay, and understand that when we do, we still need these products. We have to import them from areas and from parts of the world where, you know, they have no control. They're running roughshod.
It's a good question. Well, a lot of times they pivot. And like kind of like a politician that doesn't want to answer the question that they've just been asked, they often do that, or they try to talk about solutions that are all, you know, so-called alternative solutions to the problem. Like, you know, when we were advocating for the Line 3 replacement project, you know, many people that were against that project were saying, well, you know, we need more windmills, we need more solar panels. Well, you know, these technologies are extremely mineral intensive. And those same opponents to Line 3, there's a proposed high-grade nickel mine called Talon Metals nearby the Line 3 route. And high-grade nickel, meaning, you know, some of their deposits, they're finding up to 10% nickel. And high-grade nickel is considered 1%. And so it's extremely high-grade, small deposits, small little pockets of nickel that they're finding. But those same opponents of Line 3 are also against the Talon Metals nickel project. And, you know, if that project were to go through, I mean, that would support nickel usage that we need in EV batteries. It would support, you know, nickel usage for an array of things, whether it's for stainless steel or other renewable energy applications. And they're also targeting copper, which is needed for wind turbines. So a lot of times, so then when you ask them, you know, like, well, okay, what's your solution to that? Then they'll often say, we need to do more recycling. But when you do the math on mineral intensity or mineral in demand over the next 20 years, recycling our way to a renewable energy future isn't possible either. So they face a lot of conundrums. If they're against oil and gas, they'll say, you know, they want renewables. But then when they're against mining the actual minerals that you need for renewables, then it's a whole different story.
Yeah, well, exactly. And my point to you is, you know, it is comical, but what isn't comical is the fact that they're making decisions right now and legislatively, okay, that are going to bite us in the ass.
Well, what's sad about it is that it's working, or obviously, I mean, right? So because some projects are being stopped, and it's not logical. Like, and there's many politicians, elected officials that are siding with illogical arguments that do not make sense. And well, that's, I think, the frustrating part.
When you talk about mining, okay, and obviously, it's, you know, it's a controversial, you know, it's like a situation where, you know, I don't even know how, you know, we, you know, literally speaking, in the face that anything gets done in that industry when it comes to permitting and all those things, because it's like a whipping boy. OK, you know, it's constantly, particularly when you're talking about mining coal. But let's and yet our technologies are through the roof. We've got great workforces. OK, and we do it so much more efficiently when it comes to the environment. But let's also talk about critical minerals. OK, like we're talking over in the Congo, and we've all seen Siddharth Kara and what's going on over there with slave labor, child labor, and all those practices that are still going on. OK, we're allowing that to continue. OK, and even though we say, you know, obviously we're doing something about it, the fact of the matter is that we can't take them projects on anyway because we can't permit, you know, the mines. It's not just about coal, but it's also about the critical minerals that we use in, you know, in a lot of our electronics. Are people educated in that particular area, like being in the Twilight Zone?
I think the scary part, well, and that's part of my role, is educating more people on it. But I would say the general public overall, I don't think really understands the issue of critical minerals. I believe China controls more than 50% of, you know, the critical minerals that the USGS lists as critical, which is extremely scary. Like one example being China just put export controls on a critical mineral called antimony. And we need it for things like fire retardants. And we also need it for, you know, military applications, whether it's weapons or making new bombs. And the U.S. has zero domestic supply of it. And China and Russia control over 90% of the antimony supply. And luckily, there's a project in Idaho with Perpetua Resources that, you know, there's a good chance they're to begin construction next year. But I would argue that if we had permitting reform, they should have been operating 5 years ago. We should never have been this issue. And China, you know, their export controls of antimony just was enacted last week. And they're going to continue to do that with critical minerals like cobalt. Like you mentioned, cobalt being in the Democratic Republic of Congo. I believe there's, don't quote me on this, but I mean, people should fact check me. But from my understanding, there's 19 active cobalt mines in the Democratic Republic of Congo. 15 of them are controlled by China. And what China does is that they'll control the mines, they'll mine the cobalt, and then they'll refine and process it in China. So they control, like, I believe over 3/4 of the refining and processing capabilities of all cobalt throughout the world. And so they can have a big stranglehold on that. And we need cobalt for renewables, for our EV batteries. And so I think there's a good chance that the next critical mineral that China might do export controls on is cobalt. So you have this weird conundrum, if you will, and this goes back to permitting reform, where if we don't implement it, not only does it affect the environment as a whole and also, you know, labor issues with child slave labor in Congo, but from a U.S. perspective, from a selfish perspective, even if we're not thinking about the global environment, our national security is at risk. I mean, we need to be able to make our own tanks, our own warships. We need to be able to manufacture and manufacture our own EVs. I mean, the U.S. has an opportunity to go into another industrial revolution, but that's not going to happen without permitting reform. And we could do it in a responsible way, whether it's building new oil refineries, whether it's building new processing refining for nickel and copper here in the U.S. or building, you know, opening up new mines. There's a whole different, I mean, the opportunities are endless for the country, but it starts with permitting reform. And now I'm going on a tangent on you, Joe.
No, but no, you're not going on a tangent. We've been talking about, it's like, you know, getting a bullhorn and yelling as loud as you can. I really think the general public and what you're doing, educating people on these topics, these are complicated topics. And sometimes, you know, certainly, you know, they're not as, you know, it's not as exciting. Okay. Watching, you know, something on the internet or what we're doing or listening on the radio to this conversation as it is, you know, watching the baseball playoffs coming up. But let me tell you something, we're utilizing our computers and all that. And if we want to continue doing it and being able to control, like you mentioned, energy security. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these are why we need, it just doesn't make sense. These are why we need to be able to control our own destiny. We only have a couple minutes left, Ryan. Yeah. And I love what you do out there. So the upcoming election. Okay. How many of these issues are at the forefront? Okay. Because we talk about our energy security in America and all these things, it's right in our face right here. I mean, it's the clothes that we wear. It's the technologies that we use that are on the line. It's the cars that we drive. Okay, we're all for EVs. Okay, we need to clean up that stuff and with the issues, with the batteries, with the child labor and all those things. But we're for them, but not EV mandates. Okay, issues that are being determined right now. What are these issues at the forefront of this upcoming presidential election?
I wouldn't say at the forefront. There's so many different issues that they've been focusing on. I mean, obviously, number one, the economy, inflation is sort of rough. But in terms of industry, I would argue that there, and you can put two and two together on who that is. But I would argue there's one side that's actually being serious about implementing real permitting reform. And there's another that it's not I don't know if it's that important to them. And so the current administration has been good at, through the IRA at, helping some critical mineral projects through the Department of Defense and funding from the IRA, certain critical mineral projects throughout the U.S. But none of that funding matters until permitting reform actually happens. And, so I just haven't seen too many talking points from it. I've seen Podesta in the past couple of years say some good things about how we're forgetting to build things in our backyard. But I don't see it being too much of a forefront. But hopefully it's a top. I hope it is a top priority.
It's not that important. We don't, it's just, these are minor issues. I'm being sarcastic, as you know. Update on line five.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's still going through permitting on the Great Lakes Tunnel, and they're making great steps with the line five relocation project in northern Wisconsin. And, hopefully everything is good to go and green lighted here within the next 2 years.
We talk about these issues. We know you do a lot. I'll tell you what's impressive about your organization. You sure do a lot of social events. OK, and you got talk about that, before we go, you're educating people and bringing people into your organization in a really cool way. Talk about you take 30 seconds here on your way of introducing the organization and bringing the community into what you're doing.
Well, just constant, consistent promotion, through digital media and social media. I mean, social media can be a blessing and it can also be a curse, but for us, it's been a blessing in terms of growing our following and growing our brand in different states and different communities. It's just a really efficient way to streamline yourself into different states, and especially the model that we developed. And I would say, that has translated into our events. Our events are usually well attended. A couple of years ago, we did our first annual dinner. We had 70 people show up for free. This last year, our mutual friend Scott Hayes was in attendance, and we had, over 450 people show up. And so we're growing rather quickly. And I would say it's because of our, you know, branding and consistent branding strategy on an everyday basis.
Ryan, we really appreciate your time. Certainly you're doing great things out there. And I love having you on the show, and you're educating people, and you're and Better in Our Backyard, BIOBY, is a tremendous not only concept, but it's people need to listen to it, because doing it in the United States, in our country, where we can control it, allows us to maintain our energy security. Okay, and it allows us to do it better and more efficiently than anybody else. Ryan Sistad, Executive Director, Better in Our Backyard. Thanks so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
What's a Boilermaker? We're the skilled welders, riggers, and craftspeople who will help you grow your competitive edge. We step up when others step back, and we do the job right, on time, on budget, and safely. No drama, just results, every time. We're the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, and everything we do begins with our bond. Let's get to work together. Visit bestintrade.com.
Tom Lee Hackey has become part of my morning prayers.
I was a full-time nurse, just lifting up a patient.
A tractor trailer came up behind this, pushed us right through.
Right off the bat, you just felt comfortable. I felt somebody had my back.
He says, I'm going to do everything that I can do for you.
You guys are amazing. I love you.
Call Pond Lahaki Giordano, highly rated Philadelphia workers' compensation attorneys.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are being supported by the members of the labor union community, including Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, Business Manager, the Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters,
and the United Steelworkers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor and Energy Show on the Jacob Media Network. I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Alex Kinderconnect, President, U.S. Operations, MRU Instruments. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
It's an absolute pleasure. And having said that, we're going to talk about some pretty cool technology, okay? And it's, utilized in our traditional energy industry and our renewable industry. If you would, Alex, a little bit about what your position is, what you do, and MTU Instruments.
Right. I'm the president of MRU Instruments here in the United States. We are a German company, founded in Germany. We manufacture and design gas analyzers for all different types of industries, for the traditional energy sector, renewables, HVAC. So for all type of industries, we have typically a product that serves and helps and runs the efficiency. I'm here in the United States, responsible for this market here in the United States. So we serve Canada, America, and the USA and Mexico. So every gas analyzer that is sold in those three countries is going through us. And I'm running the daily operations, and that's my job.
So if talk about the importance of gas analysis, okay, in maintaining safety and efficiency and compliance.
Yeah, it's really important. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. Because it's a super easy example I can always give is like everybody has a boiler, a warm water, a boiler heater or a furnace at home, that to heat your house. And a lot of times they run with gas. So it's like a gas powered furnace to heat your home. But the thing is, if you do not optimize your furnace based on the emissions, on the combustion, because it's a combustion process, you have a flame that creates energy, that creates heat. So you want to make this as efficient as possible, because if you don't do that, you just waste gas, and waste gas costs money because you have to pay for gas, you know? So if you can optimize your furnace to run as efficient as possible, you will use less gas into your furnace in your house, but you will get the same result or a better result out from, you know, the heat content. That's like the easy way to explain the efficiency.
It's interesting though, because, you know, there's two types of, you know, there's industrial, but you're talking residential. Okay. We all know that when you smell gas in your house, okay, yeah, obviously you're running the stove. Okay. And having said that, and I know it's on sort of a layman's type example, but, you know, there have been absolute tragedies, even in homes, okay?
Right.
For people who have not monitored, their gas situation. In the city, if you smell gas immediately, okay, yeah, you're contacting the gas department, and you're getting up because of course, smelling gas and running over and turning the stove, okay, that's one thing, okay? Yeah. But you go on vacation and something happens, you get a gas leak. I can tell you that, and we're going to get into the actual technology and the industrial part of it. Yeah. But this just reminded me, and this sounds funny, but it reminded me of an incident that happened at my own house.
Okay.
For 5 years, I didn't. The guy who put my gas dryer. Did not tell us that the valve broke. It was just in.
Yeah.
Literally speaking, when we got a somebody to come over to repair it, this is what he told me. If it would have popped when we were on vacation, when you pulled the plug out, you heard it sounded like a flint. You know, it sounded like it was like a locomotive. He said it wouldn't have blew my house up. It would have blew the city block up. So my point is, on a residential area, it's important. Okay. Yeah. Not to mention, you know, the emissions and all those things. Let's talk and what type of safety, when you talk about the safety, standards, does your technology help us when you're maintaining, an energy project?
Yeah. So, the safety is a big thing. Like you said, if you have a gas leak in your house, you know, we have like typically products for HVAC, you know, people who go out to your house and do service on whatever appliance you have. We have like a gas sniffer that measures, you know, the constant, you know, environment and brings an alarm if there is a leak, a gas leak. But in the industrial sector, it's the same issue. Gas leaks can happen, and depends on what industry you are in, it can be a super dangerous environment. So for example, we are really strong in like a biogas industry. So landfills, anaerobic digester farm, like dairy farms, you know, or wastewater treatment plants. So the thing is, biogas is a high explosive gas. It's a methane, high concentration of methane, you know. So if you do not operate your equipment on the right way, you can have an explosion. Worst case, you can have an explosion on your plant, and then the whole thing just blows up, you know. So what we do, we provide equipment that is explosion proof, and you can install on site to, you know, operate your whole site as efficient as possible, because we measure the gas, we measure the biogas, and it's important, you know, that you have like the good quality, you know, of the gas. And safety is the big thing.
My apologies. So talk about the magnitude of the projects that your technology, you know how from a small project to a large project.
Yeah. So small projects, typical is like a typical boiler combustion service application. So hospitals have a warm water boiler, warm water heater, you know, that boiler runs with gas. So we work with a lot of local companies that do service on boilers, industrial boilers. So hospitals, schools, you know, all these big places where they have a huge boiler. It's like a whole room. It takes a whole room of out this boiler. And so what they do is they come out with one of our products. It's a handheld unit. And they measure the exhaust, you know, of the boiler to make sure, okay, does this run efficient or not, you know, and is it safe? So that's like from a small operation. But then we have big operations where you have maybe like a coal plant, you have maybe a refinery, or you have a glass manufacturer, you know, where they have a burner. It's a huge burner because you have to heat the glass, you know, you have to make the glass. It's a lot of heat involved in there, or the steel industry. So they have to make sure that they run as efficient and safe as possible. So we have big stationary analyzers that are mounted on site that monitor the gas quality and make it safe for them to, or and efficient so that they can see, okay, my side here, my burner runs as efficient as possible. If not, I can tune it a little bit. And then they look at our values on the unit and say, yeah, that's good. That's great.
Is this required technology at a lot of the big industrial plants?
It depends. It gets more and more into that. So, you know, it depends on what the government, what the EPA is bringing out on regulations. A lot of times it's based on regulations. So as more regulations come out, as higher the demand for gas analyzers is, because, you know, emissions have to come down. That's what we hear everywhere. And to make sure that emissions come down, you have to understand what are the emissions, you know, what are the numbers, what are the values. And so that's when we come in place with an instrument that shows, look, this is the emission of this generator, you know. And then the EPA or the regulatory aspect says you have to bring your emissions down. So they measure, they optimize, boom, the generator works. But on the other side, if you don't look at the regulatory standpoint, then just from the efficient standpoint, you know, it makes sense to have a gas analyzer because like I described in the beginning with your residential furnace, you don't want to waste money. And so you want to run the generator as efficient as possible so that it does not consume too much gas and runs efficient. So you have a small investment in a gas analyzer, but you have then a lot of savings at the end because that thing runs as efficient as possible, you know?
So in a sense, so like, you know, you talk about, or, your company support for oil, gas, and the coal industries.
Okay. Yeah. We are,
you know, you're handling, I mean, you're working directly with our traditional energy industries, okay, on emissions monitoring and combustion analysis. Okay, so when I think about, you know, what we're talking about, we also talk about, you know, fracking, okay, and what's, you know, and these technologies go hand in hand, okay, with a lot of those industries, okay? Yeah. How does it, in a sense, work for the organization? And what I mean by that is, in a sense, if you're monitoring your emissions, and you're doing combustion analysis, these are, you know, especially in the United States, you're talking about a lot of these traditional energy industries. You know, there are some people that want to wipe them off the planet, and it's just not realistic. Okay,
no, it's not.
And so does what you do and the emissions monitoring and, you know, the safety and compliance, does it work on behalf of those industries so that we can actually prove that we're doing these, like fracking, when it, you know, obviously when they first started doing fracking, there were issues, but things have improved especially we're in Pennsylvania. We have the Marcellus Shale, and we have so many, great companies that are prioritizing net zero. And so with the monitoring, okay, does it work hand in hand? And in a sense, become almost a mediary between the company and the environmentalists who are sitting there trying to shut projects down and doing a great job of doing so because of the potential for the high emissions.
Yeah, so a good example, and we work with some drilling companies together. So basically how it works, a whole drilling site needs power. So they have like huge generators. They're like huge, like a truck, generator. They have usually like four or five of them that powers the whole site, because you need the energy to drill, So the regulation standpoint says, hey, you produce too much emission. You have to shut it down, or you invest into some more, renewable. So the alternative would be like a battery instead of like a huge generator. You put a battery there, but a battery costs like $1 million or more, like a battery like that. So that's when we come in place. And it's often true. You have to understand that they don't do right now any emission analysis. So what they do is they fuel the generator with fuel, the diesel, and then based on the consumption of the fuel, they calculate the emissions. So it's not a super accurate calculation. If they buy one of our units and install it on the generator and measure the emissions, they can show or prove that the emissions actually on the generator are not as bad as all the people say. Every generator is different. They're old generators, new generators. But what I'm saying is that if you just measure it instead of like calculating your fuel consumption and say, look, this is how much CO2 we burned, or we put into the atmosphere. If you measure it and you show it, hey, this is the real number, then you can say, hey, we are actually not that bad. And we are like 7% better than what we previously, posted, on the calculation.
So the accuracy.
And then the 7% can already make a big difference if the regulation says, hey, you have to be 5% better, and if they can prove just by monitoring the gas quality of the engine, they are 7% better, for example, then they don't need to shut the whole site down or invest into super expensive $1-2 million batteries. They can keep the engine running, maybe some fine tuning here and there, but the project can go on,
So let's kind of segue, because we only have a couple minutes left, but you're rolling renewable energy, okay? Mm-hmm. Talk about biogas or renewable natural gas. And talk about, those types of analyzers.
Yeah. So there is like a huge industry with biogas renewables to, promote like this renewable sector, and it's a great industry. I see how efficient, effective it is, because you have cows, you have farms, you have that everywhere, and why not using this resource to make gas? Because this is a resource that you will always have. You don't need to produce it. If you have cows, you have manure. You throw it into a pot, you mix it with some proteins, and it creates gas, And that gas can be used to run like engines, to produce, RNG, like renewable natural gas. You can do a lot with that gas. So that's where we come in place. We install one of our gas analyzers on the whole site, on the biogas plant, and then we show them how good the gases from the quality standpoint, and maybe what they need to do from the safety standpoint as well. Because if the numbers go out of order, then it can be dangerous. Like in a simple project we have with a landfill is they have gas, and they have to monitor because there are residential homes around the landfill. You know how it is, you drive by a landfill and you smell it. So if you have a gas analyzer there, you can monitor what gas comes out from the landfill, and then you can put things in place to, you know, get the smell down, the gas down.
So when you talk about it, and the one thing, you know, obviously we're huge proponents of renewables, and you know, and we think it's a, you know, in a sense, an all and above approach. Okay, common sense. You know, traditional energy working hand in hand with our renewables. Renewables need our traditional energy resources in spite of what a lot of people would have you think. Okay, and a lot of people, as you know, would think you could just shut down our traditional energy resources and just click a switch and go right to renewables. Not possible. Okay, yeah. Not only not possible, you need our traditional energy industries, you know, to fuel, if you will, no pun intended, our renewable, okay, yeah. Future. Having said that, you guys also help, you know, support a sustainable future, helping companies to transition to a greener energy, to greener energy solutions, okay, yes. Collaborations with the EPA to ensure environmental compliance. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. You know, a lot of companies who are like, you know, who need to maybe do something because their emissions are, you know, too high, and they maybe don't understand what they need to do. So we work with the EPA to understand always like, where are the regulations going? Do we have the right, you know, analysis for this? And then we help our customers to say, you know what, this is what the regulation says. That's what the EPA says. If you install one of these analyzers, you can keep your plant running by showing that your emissions are better than what you have right now, or you install one of our units and you optimize your site. So it doesn't mean that a site needs to be shut down immediately. If you just optimize certain things on your plant, you know, then you can keep going. You can keep that thing going, but you need the analysis. You need the analysis from a gas analyzer to make sure that you understand what you produce, what you have, what the emissions are, and then what the EPA says about it, you know? And so we try to work hand in hand with them.
And in our, you know, natural gas is a big reason why emissions have been lowered. Okay. And so this is just even more security and you know, safeguarding to make sure that our plants are running as efficiently as possible. We only have a minute left, okay? And you talk about the global reach, okay? Mm-hmm. And you know, take it. I know you know. We only have 30 seconds, but just touch on that because you know you're going into South America, and you know your vision is to stay you know ahead in both traditional and renewable yeah. energy. Just touch on that for a minute.
Yeah, so I mean, our company is almost everywhere on the planet. We have we try to support every country. We have locations everywhere, and it's a strong desire to also help you know South America out with gas analyzers. So we see a demand coming from South America that you know there are regulations happening, emissions, and it's a big country, and so we're also focused to get into the South American market to understand what are the regulations there, what do people need, what do need to do about the emissions. And yeah, so we are globally, we're trying to reach every country to help them out to understand the regulations and provide the product that they need.
All right, well, listen, Alex Interconnect, President, U.S. Operations, MRU Instruments. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the Labor and Energy Show and sharing your knowledge about a technology that sounds to me obviously needs to be global. Before I go, let me ask you a question. Are you getting any play in you know, we talk about China, the Congo, and all those areas where, you know, in a sense, there's a third world in environment. What's your penetration in those markets?
I mean, we have a market in China because, you know, China, some, like if you watch the TV maybe a few years ago and you see like Shanghai, you know, completely in clouds and you cannot even see the sun because of the emissions. So they do also things to get the emissions down. So we have products in China. We manufacture them.
Is the penetration as much in those areas? as it is, you say, in the United States?
Yeah. I mean, almost, yeah. I would say that that's the case, yeah.
Well, it's good to hear because, obviously, you know, the emissions covers the whole planet. So,
right.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Alex Kinder Connect, President, okay. U.S. Operations, MRU Instrument. Thanks so much. We're going to have more from the Labor and Energy Show in just a minute.
The Eastern Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters is proud to present skilled union workers, including the workers that build and maintain our energy infrastructure. The safest, best trained, and most productive carpenters in the country are on the job. Whether it's energy from nuclear, wind, coal, natural gas, or offshore wind, the EAS carpenters are ready to provide the construction need of an energy industry our families depend on. If you're interested in a job in construction, visit EASCarpenters.org or follow us on social at EAS Carpenters.
Neuter Integrated Multicraft Contractors has been a force since 1896. That's right, 1896. And specializes in welding, piping, mechanical, structural, constructability reviews, project management, and rigging design services. For a free consultation, call Neuter at 314-421-7600. Neuter proudly serves petroleum refining, chemical processing, power generation, and alternative energy. Get in touch with Neuter at 314-421-7600. Can you afford a brand new electric car or a charging station for your home? Want to spend your days waiting in line at a public charging station? Well, buckle up. Delaware and New Jersey are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars by 2035. Most drivers can't afford it, don't need it, and don't want it. Tell Governor Carney and Governor Murphy to stop the EV mandate and let drivers decide.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Portions of tonight's Labor and Energy Special are presented by PBF Energy and supported by members of the Labor Union Community, a collaborative to educate the public and change the narrative.
And back here on the Labor and Energy Show with J-Doc and Krause, only about 75 seconds remaining, J-Doc, until we've got to punch out. I don't know if there's any way for you to summarize your conversation today. Two good guests. I'm going to suggest everybody go back and re-listen to the podcast today on Apple or Spotify by searching Labor and Energy Show. But let me give you the rest of the time to try and put a synopsis on your conversation. Good stuff. Just a lot.
Well, you know, we're ecstatic always to have Ryan Sistad on from Better in Our Backyard. And that premise is kind of what we, are promoting also, and that is, we can do these projects in the United States. It's better in our backyard, in our country, because we can maintain the standards. Okay, we can maintain, the professionalism of the work. We have the best workforce in the world. Okay, and we can meet our own environmental standards. Okay, which are higher in the United States than anywhere. Okay, and then Alex Skinner Connect. Okay, it's not. Love introducing the technologies and letting people know that they're out there for our traditional and our renewable projects, okay, to make sure and to ensure in safety, okay, and emissions that, we have technologies that allow us to sustain our jobs or sustain our plants and our projects, okay, now more than ever. And so, we wanted to talk about that because compliance is such a big deal. And there's so much controversy on a lot of these projects. There are technologies out there that can prove, that we are lowering emissions on these projects, okay, and that we're keeping them safe and compliant. So great education there, a great show. It's really what it's all about.
We thank everybody for tuning in to the Labor and Energy Show today with J-Doc and Krause. Again, if you want to consume or reconsume today's show or any of the shows in the Labor and Energy Library, just go to Apple or Spotify and search the Labor and Energy Show. This has been a presentation of Jacob Media along with J-Doc. I'm Joe Krause. We thank everyone for tuning in. J-Doc, great job by you today with both guests on your interviews. Until next time, see you next time, everybody.
Thanks for listening to tonight's Labor and Energy Special. You can help. Call your congressperson and join the movement to push back on RINs.
This program is paid for by Advocacy United. All opinions or statements expressed on this program are solely those of Advocacy United or its guests and do not reflect the views of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program is pre-recorded.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.